79, I-94. The meta-abstraction is to suddenly perceive reality as signifier and not as the thing signified. Hence, as a result of this meta-abstraction, reality would then very soon assume the aspect of information and language and signs, because this is how our minds conceive of signifier. Languages, information, and signs is the way we signify reality, things, words pointing to something of which they are pure abstraction. I've been on the lip of this realization ever since I developed my SIRD theory. Now it is clear why words and even concepts fail to represent what I call valis. They deal with reality. But in this case, reality itself is the abstract. Signs, words, concepts, info, language. So human language would be twice removed, hence not relatively ineffective, but totally so. So all the language elements that I saw, e.g. plasmate, set ground, linking, relinking, rest motion, MMSK, may in fact be metaphors constructed by my own mind to express the fact that as the word banana is to banana, reality is to X. 79, I-95. My mind was scanning reality as language, trying to read it and thus know X. This failed. One can apparently only know that X exists, but not what X is. In which case, the closest approximation conceptually may be that which Anoki expresses. However, my intuition is that since what it, X, manifests itself as is beauty, then the Sufis may be right, and its essence is what we term beauty. But it would be very hard for this meta-abstraction to take the form of words because to say reality is not that which is signified, but is rather the signifier, seems, even maybe is, oxymoronic. Except that the AI voice knew how to express it, a perturbation in the reality field, a brilliant way to convey it. Thus, my poor brain was converted into a putative deciphering machine in its attempt to read the information. But, it would seem, the information can't be read because it is only metaphorically information. That is, it stands to X as information, such as we generate stands to reality. But it is only like information. It is information only in that it signifies something outside itself. Hence, all the info I've received is either cryptic or incoherent. Although containing mystifying allusions to something, there is then a something. It's like Borges' story, The Library of Babel. Well then, perhaps my 274 meta-abstraction was not Plato's recovery of the forms, but a new way of perceiving reality. Distantly related to Plato's perception of the forms, so to speak, analogous to it, resulting in my Kantian ordering categories fundamentally revising themselves, or rather, my brain discarded the old ones, space, time, and causation, and adapted the new one of conceiving everything in terms of abstract information. This is more accurate, but the main goal does not have to do with reality at all, but that of which reality as a field is the signifier. It's only information, my brain was telling itself. But what that information is about can't seem to be found in the information. My brain tried to break the cipher without success. It may be information generated by and in my own brain, which is why the whole thing resembles Ubik and my own prior thought formations. Yet there is something there capable of perturbing the reality field. This, of course, is why God acts through or as causation. He can, he is X, only impinge through reality, not directly. But as I said initially, a peak, ultra-intense experience is X compelling our ascent to an absolute degree in the experience at hand, he, it, can do this anytime, anywhere, with anything. This is the closest we come to experiencing X. Put another way, All peak experiences are of X, expressed in, through, as world. 79. I-99. The age of iron is filibustering, so we won't notice that everything we have, that we treasure, has been taken away from us. Hypnagogic thought. Referring to Acts? The Messianic Age? Strange thought. The real world? 79. I-105. 5:30 a.m. The phenomenal world is what we conceive it to be in space-time or information. It has no absolute existence. Its highest utility, pragmatic value, is, would be, to point as a sign to the absolute and be a means by which we could and can know the absolute, which does have a genuine intrinsic existence on its own, but is to us and for us unknowable. Thus, I have sharply heightened the use value of the phenomenal world by shaping it, rendering it into and as information about the absolute. This is a titanic achievement. I have made the Kantian ordering categories an instrument, not just to shape the phenomenal world, but to use it to point to the absolute, which is genuine. Thus, the phenomenal world no longer for me simply points back to my own mind and its ordering categories, but points away from me to the absolute, points as information about the absolute, the not me. This is a vast evolution. It is phenomenal world leading out, not back to me, out and away and to, rather than being circular, rather than simply reporting my own mind back to me in terms of time, space, and most of all, causation. This is what I have done. Made of the phenomenal world a bridge to the absolute, the not me. 79. I-110. Tug. Valence, the way. Influence on the reality field. Perturbation. This is a modern expression for the way. I have unified Kantian Cartesianism and Taoism. The sentient tug on reality. The reality field, by that which is not, tug, the way. The way is yielding, yet leads. It is gentle, but cannot be resisted. Valis, my one sole glimpse of the action of the absolute on the reality field, a perturbation of the reality field, was a tug, a valance away from plumb. This is the Cheng Dao, which is outside reality, acting on reality. I saw the absolute as a tug, perturbation, acting on reality, and I comprehended the dialectic, and this is Taoism. The Tao is impersonal, but heaven is on the side of the good man, and heaven fills up the empty. 79. I-113. The key is this. The Commedia successfully captures the medieval worldview of vertical or Gothic space, rising. This, coupled with a transcendental Platonism, is the essence of the matter, the hierarchically arranged realms. What I need to do is study a modern person who has no literary contact with the medieval vertical space, as does Angel Archer, and trace that person rising through the triune realms from, say, his high school years to his first marriage divorce, without ever referring to the Middle Ages or Dante. I will show him rising analogically to Julian Sorrell's rise in society in terms of wealth and influence. This, however, is spiritual rising through the vertical realms in Berkeley in the 40s and 50s, and then perhaps a crisis, disaster, and fall. Why? Why not just have it as in Dante, successive levels of spiritual enlightenment? The Commedia, revisited, with no theology, all merely secular. Aesthetics, politics, his job. Autobiographical, a spiritual search. For what? The right woman? Like Janet? Never will there be any explicit reference to the Commedia and the Middle Ages, and to spiritual ascent. But that is in fact the topic, Christian enlightenment, culminating in contact somehow with Christ or Christ consciousness, but never identified as such. Best method, fairly short time period, e.g. 1948 to 1951, unity of time and space, from last year in high school to first job to marriage to divorce. Folder 80, June 1981. Note: Dick had finished his new novel, which he called Bishop Timothy Archer, or BTA. It would later be published as The Transmigration of Timothy Archer. End note. 80, I-115. The Archer Book, Jumping Off Point. Store and the Employees. Homosexuals. Berkeley Avant-Garde, Literature, Poets. CP, USA. Dixieland Jazz, Music in General. SF, Tony Boucher. The character is on a spiritual quest in the sense of Dante, led by Virgil and Beatrice, but does not know it in these terms. Binschwanger's Three Realms, Heidegger, none of this ever mentioned. Note: Existential psychologist Ludwig Binschwanger, from whom Dick drew the notion of tomb world, described three worlds: Eigenwelt, Mitwelt, and Umwelt. End note. Psychology, Therapy, Jung. Oriental Thought, Alan Watts, KPFA. The University. To repeat, the underlying latent structure is medieval vertical space, but the setting is modern purely, time, horizontal, secular. The former shows through, as does the mythic substructure in Joyce's Ulysses. Crucial experiences, moksha, satori. Qualitative leaps of understanding, cumulative, FBI. What supplies the vertical factor is that these epiphanies, mokshas, satoris, are 1. Cumulative, and 2. One way. Once you make each leap, you never fall back. Their commedia spiritual nature can be concealed by having the character be youthful and growing. These seem to be normal growth stages: first job, first marriage, etc. Analysis: the ostensible horizontal axis of linear time, as receptacle of being, conceals a latent vertical axis of space, as receptacle of being, because the spiritual insights, not recognized as such, are cumulative and one way, rather than merely successive. Hence, beneath or within the modern horizontal linear time sequential realm lies hidden the medieval spiritual vertical spatial cumulative realm, as the true way of being in the world, unrecognized even by the person as he ascends. This is the basis of the novel proposed, its twin structures: one ostensible, material, sequential, linear, temporal, the real one latent, vertical, cumulative, spiritual, and spatial, in fact, medieval. Only the motion along the vertical axis has real significance, and this motion is concealed, not deliberately sought. The cumulative satoris are as if given to the person, protagonist, by an invisible but distinct agency, entity, who becomes progressively more and more palpable to him, starting from zero palpability. It is essential that this not be framed in theological terms. Then what? Comprehension? Moral, having to do with choice, freedom, autonomy, self-awareness, e.g. clarity of idea of his goals, values, how he ranks the worth of different things? I'm sure this can be done without any reference to religion. Love? The horizontal advances are sought after and achieved consciously and explicitly. But he does not even know of the medieval vertical scale, hence does not seek to climb. Hence, on this scale, his advances are more encounters rather than achievements, since he does not knowingly pursue them. Yet this is the real scale, the two directions being orthogonal to each other. Assuming that, unknown to us, The medieval vertical axis exists. You could stumble, as it were, onto an extreme ascent, leap plateau unintentionally, advance vertically very simply, along an axis you did not know existed. This could be 2374, a latter quantum leap along an orthogonal axis I had moved in fits and starts along previously. Hence, 2374 can only be explained in terms of this specifically medieval vertical axis. In reading over these supra pages, I discern a terribly moving notion that some agency leads you along this vertical axis, leads you invisibly, and where it leads you is to itself. It is both means, what moves you, and goal, what it leads you to. Moreover, with each quantum leap up, you form a clear notion of this agency, beginning with no realization of its existence at all. There you become aware that it exists. This explains why motion in this axis is cumulative and one-way, irreversible, because you are being led, and this agency cannot err. Finally, you begin to gain some conception of it beyond that it exists, to what it is like, i.e. its nature, and ultimately, it will lead you to it. And this itself is a crucial realization, that it is leading you to itself as the goal. 80. I-122. This, of course, is what I experienced in 374 as Valis mind in my own, and in fact as my own, myself as intelligible function of the divine mind, one function in an infinitude. To know oneself as pure idea, and that idea conceived by the divine mind, this idea, being intelligible, comprehends itself as it is known to and by God. One can see this self-comprehension at work in the Bishop Archer book as Angel Archer comprehends herself as pure idea in relation to the ground of being and is aware that she is impaired and yet real. This is not an infinity of mirrors regress. Quite the contrary. There is such unimpaired self-perception that it is evident that the capacity of this mind for correct observation, even of itself, is total. This is the epitome of rationality. Angel totally knows herself, and thus is, and without qualification. Thus, in Heidegger's language, she possesses authentic, realized sign. Her actions are based on this authentic sign. This is not a languid, morbid, intellectual self-preoccupation, but rather a pitiless light of the soul alone with itself, without cover or pretense or deception. This is not the ego becoming boundless. She sees when she ends. Interestingly, in the final scene of the novel, she designates her serious mistakes that she has made, not as in failing to go with Tim to Israel, but rather in standing idle, saying nothing, when Tim and Kristen believed that Jeff had come back. And because of this, they are now dead. And Angel is right. This was indeed her error. And she says she doesn't plan to repeat this mistake, vis-a-vis Bill. You'd expect her to designate her failure to go to Israel as her error, and had she done so, she would have been wrong. For this reason, regarding Jeff, she knew better. But regarding Israel, she did not and could not.